Yo, welcome to another episode of Salinas Underground Podcast. You're looking at Salinas news, events, musical theater. And because, yeah, there's a lot of versions of this. We got to figure out which one you're actually doing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, today in the studio is, if you've listened to the show a lot and pay attention, I think you've probably heard this voice before. I think we've had you on at least just to walking to the bathroom at XL or something and jumping on the mic real quick.
Yeah.
If I not,
think that's happened at least once. And then another time where we were talking about another play a few years ago, we talked about
Hair.
Yeah.
Hey, I have in my little bookcase over there, I have the original first edition printing of Hair, the book.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It's one of my coolest finds. It's worth nothing, but it's so dope. It's like literally like the first edition.
I've never seen that.
And I absolutely love it. It's falling apart, but it's tight. So cool. It's a prized possession of mine. No one else would care. You're gonna actually recognize that's cool. But anyway, yeah, in here in the studio with me is Colin St. John. Oh, check it out. Oh wait, I don't know which one does it. Oh! Like a real DJ.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's legit.
Steve Aoki thinks he's got skills. He got nothing. That's all you do? That's all you do, Steve Aoki? But yeah, Colin St. John, a veteran of the local theater scene here. Mm-hmm. And dude, this is cool because you're directing now.
Yeah. So, it's with this theater company called Enchantrix, and they're a pretty new local theater company. This is the second production they've ever done. And it's headed by a guy named Sean who started it all. And I should know his last. Sean Atten. Oh, Sean.
He's going to be like, no.
I know.
Only Sean, bro. Only Sean. Like Madonna. Just Sean.
And second show they've ever done. I originally just auditioned to be the voice of Audrey 2, which is the name of the plant in Little Shop of Horrors. But partway through, director had to step down for personal reasons. And so I kind of got pulled into directing. And so it's been a whirlwind since then.
Yeah. Well, and I want to go back because I always like to, you know, because like I know you, it's very rare that I know my guests so personally. But I don't know, the listeners, there might be a first time listener or whatever. So I always like to do a little bio. And I say you're a veteran of the local theater scene because like how long have you been doing?
Yeah, my first play was with the Western Stage in 95. So I was a wee little child. Which was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which I ended up doing with them again later as a little bit older. So most of my theater experience has been with them through the years. And I've done Rocky Horror with Paperwing a couple times when I was a lot younger. And then back to the Western Stage again to do some stuff like Hair and things. And then, so I guess since 95, I've just been doing it mostly on. And then like when you become an adult, it gets hard sometimes to find all that time for theater that you want to make
yeah.
it. So it's been a little bit more sparse in the past like few years and stuff. But this has been a real fun experience for sure.
Dude, the effort, that's where, you know, knowing more people that are in this community theater space, it's just, it's so like, cause you go to shows and you're like, whoa, that was really cool. But dude, some of these is like a several month process that these people have jobs. Like it's so, that's the one. Oh my God. I won't say the names to protect the guilty. But anyway, that was, you know, it was a local community show recently and it was a really, really cool production and it was popular. So they added a day. And somehow just, you know, in the chaos, one of the main actors didn't tell him that the day was added and he had work.
Oh, damn.
And it's so interesting because just regular work, you know, it's not like, oh man, I got Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, that I'm hanging out with him that day or whatever. You're just a dude. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, I work at an auto parts store or something, you know, and I'm the manager and they need me there and I'm already scheduled. And then, so it's this whole thing, you know, like, well, you can't like we already sold 80 tickets for that day, you know, and like, well, I can't get fired from my job because I'm a real human, you know, that has to pay bills. And it's just so you don't think about that, you know, when you're there watching the show, you're just entertained.
Yeah, I think about that a lot, too, because it's, you know, and with maybe some more, like I said, this is a new theater company. So maybe with some more established ones, it's still a huge commitment, no matter what. But you know, with some other theater companies, you're going to have an established set designer, established light designer, and all that shit's going to be set up already for you to just start plugging into and stuff. And since this is like just such core community theater where a lot of it, we're just kind of all coming together to do it. So last night we were there all day. I was there noon to midnight, and a bunch of actors came in for a big chunk of the day, and we're like painting the set.
Is it really in a circus tent?
It looks like a circus tent. So it's this building out in Moss Landing, and it's shaped like that. It has a giant pole in the middle, like a circus tent, and it's got all these other poles on the outside too. So that's actually been a huge challenge, is trying to figure out how do we build this stage in this space where like all these poles and things are a problem.
So the first show they did wasn't in this space?
No, yeah. So the first show they did was out in the Sand City Art Park. And that was Man of La Mancha, and it was a great show. It turned out great, but they even had a challenge there. So they built this big set, really awesome, and at first it was in the outside portion of the art space. And then they found out that the next weekend it was supposed to rain, so they're like, oh, we have to move this whole set inside, but the inside space is also way smaller. So they figured it out. They got like the most important core set pieces. They moved it all inside. And then it's all the actors having to adapt to like this different stage. And I saw it both outside and inside. And both times it was great. So they pulled it off.
Dude, that's – and the directing thing, is this your first directing thing?
So I've done some directing before. I've directed one act at the Western Stage, which was great. I helped direct some young company production at the Western Stage. I've done a couple other smaller projects directing at the Western Stage too, and then like in high school and stuff. So this is my first big full length production with, you know, all the bells and whistles. Yeah.
And do you enjoy the directing?
I do. I love the directing, actually, because it's, for me, the directing is super focused on helping the actors kind of find everything they want to do and helping pull that out of them and helping them find like new choices and new like character developments. And I think it's been an awesome experience for me. And the feedback I've gotten is it's been a really good experience for them too. The weird balance has been trying to be the voice of the plant and directing, but since I'm just the voice, I'm still off stage. So even when I have to be the voice and we're running through the show, I still get to see everything. So I can still give that my attention too. And then on top of directing, I'm choreographing it, which is, you know, doing all the dances and stuff.
Because it is a musical.
Yeah. Like there's a good, I forget how many songs exactly. I don't know, like 12 to 20, something like that. So there's a lot of songs. And it's been a crunch to get everything in there, as it often is. But I'm really impressed the way everyone's pulling it off, for sure.
Yeah, because it's an interesting thing, Little Shop of Horrors, in that, what, it was a book, and then it became a play, and then the movie? Or it was the movie first, and then the book, or the play? Like,
I was looking this up weeks ago, so I kind of forget. But the book, honestly, I don't know. I'm not sure, but I do know that...
Wait, is it a book? I don't know. I think I might have added that shit.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It might be, but I know that they made a movie first, but the movie was not a musical. And the movie... I haven't watched the not musical version, and the not musical version is a lot older. Nicholson makes like a random appearance, like a cameo in it. So like, it's funny because you'll even see like, oh, featuring Jack Nicholson, but I think he just has like a really small part in it. And then they made the play version came first, I think. And then they made a movie off of that play version. And then I think they even kind of readapted the play. I should really know this better, but that's kind of my understanding.
Well, that's what, so again, to me, it's just more like that's what makes it kind of tricky, you know, because mm-hmm. you could either do one of the three or you could take the three and be like, all right, well, I'm going to, you know, reinvent it for my own self. You know, people already know the story, but I could, you know, do it. And
yeah. So I know when the producer Sean got the rights, he basically has to pick a certain, so he's like, we're going to do this one. And so then we get the script with that one and we go with that.
That's crazy. I never even you think of the business side of it. That you think it's a community theater. Oh, let's just do Little Shop of Horrors. And it's like, well, if you're gonna charge tickets, so you better pay whoever owns this.
Yeah, there's so many. You have to buy the rights to the show. And to be fair, I'm not involved in the money end of it all, which is great because I'd rather not be.
Fuck yeah, that's boring.
But yeah. So he has to buy the rights, right? Then he has to rent the space. Then he has to get like all the materials for the set. And you try to, I mean, another amazing thing with community theater is it's almost entirely volunteer. Like, you know, all the actors, like the director and just everything, just all volunteer for the love of theater. And I just can't think of any other, you know, I play in like a bunch of bands and stuff too. And that takes time and commitment, but like, it's not several rehearsals a week or tech week where you're doing it every night and then three performances a weekend. Like it's amazing to me that theaters still exist because of like you said, the huge commitment. People got jobs, they got lives, but we all just think theater's an important thing and we love to do it. So we keep doing it.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And it's super important. I was just talking with somebody literally earlier today saying like Salinas lacks cultural spaces, I believe. You know, we have the Steinbeck Center right here in Old Town and Ariel there, but there's so many more opportunities for that because it is so. When I started going out, I always hesitate because I'm like I was surprised of how good it was, which means that I didn't think it was that good beforehand, you know. And I'm not saying that I thought, oh, that sucks, it's local stuff, you know. But I didn't realize, you know, what it actually was. And then when you go out to these, they're like, holy crap, these are like so. Yeah,
these are just people walking around our town all coming together and like, damn, they're doing it.
Yeah. And it's so great. And you get sucked into the story or whatever. And you're just like, yeah, man, we need more money into this kind of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, dude. So I'm curious. I'm going to go back into your history, your bio. Is there a memorable character? I'm not going to be all like, who's your favorite character? But is there a memorable character that you've played or that you enjoy over the years? Not just in Little Shop of Horrors.
There's been some.
Where you'd be like, Audrey 2 is pretty cool.
Yeah, it eats people.
Yeah, Audrey 2 is cool. Doing voice acting is something I've been kind of wanting to try to get into on the side anyway. So being able to do it in a play is a pretty interesting experience because we're also – so there's another person operating the puppet, Cody. He's a master puppeteer. A bunch of local theater people will definitely know him because he does amazing puppet work. He also was playing Don Quixote in Man of La Mancha and did an awesome job with that. So he's been building the puppet. There's a couple we rented, but he's building the biggest one, which would be the most challenging one, this giant puppet. And it's totally almost finished now. It's looking awesome. And then he has to operate it, which is a whole nother thing. And so then we have to sync together my words with his operation, which is just a whole different aspect of theater I haven't thought of. But as far as roles, just because we keep mentioning Hair, I mean, Hair was a great experience for me. And I loved being that role. It was just a wild hippie child, George Berger. And that was a lot of fun. And then I always thought it was kind of funny because I did that. And then I don't know if it was the next year or a couple years later, did Of Mice and Men the musical. And then that was also a character named George. So back-to-back George roles. And that was a special one too because...
Damn, you were George?
Yeah. And it's Of Mice and Men the musical. So it was only the second time it's ever been done in history. And it was...
Like rabbits, rabbits, rabbits. I love rabbits.
There was... Was there a song there? I don't think there was a song about rabbits, but there should have been. But there was a song about ketchup, and that alone like stole my heart. A whole song about ketchup in musical theater is beans ain't good without no ketchup. I like beans with my ketchup. Ketchup makes them taste so good. Makes them taste the way they should. Like, how can you not love that? That's beautiful. those are a couple of things that were definitely. And then even doing Rocky Horror, I think I did it when I was like 17 and I was playing Rocky with Paperwing. Paperwing was new to the area at the time. That's when they were renting out the Fox Theater, which was awesome space to be performing in. And that show just pushed so many boundaries for me as like just theater in general. It's a totally different role than anything I ever did before. And you know, with audience shout outs is not a thing you usually experience in theater. So that was
toast and shit.
Yeah, throwing toilet paper at you and yelling,
squirting you with water.
Yeah, squirting water guns. yelling all kinds of obscenities. It was a pretty neat experience. We should have more theater like that, really.
Yeah. Well, and that's where I want to give a shout out to Indie Basement Cinema. Once a month in the basement of XL Public House, Rob from Masa for the Raza, Masa 831. He's got a million names at this point. he highlights local cinema. So short films. Well, if you do a short film, dude, go hit up Indie Basement Cinema, and they'll show your thing. He sets it up like a movie theater down there. It's so, so cool.
That's dope.
But one thing he did for Rocky Horror Picture Show last year, there was, you know, is it Paperwing that does the one in Monterey or whatever?
Yeah,
so they were doing their version. So he was like, a lot of people might not know what the hell this is, so we're going to show the movie. So, and he even set up like little goodie bags with like different of things that you throw. And then he had the cadences basically, you know, where it says that,
where the shout outs.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. The shout outs. And, you know, he had like a little paper that said, at this point, this happens. And it was so cool because I hadn't even seen the movie. I had heard about it, you know? And so I was like, oh, what a cool way. And it was so interesting to see that. And the people that knew, you know, were all into it. And a bunch of people that didn't know what the heck was were like playing along, and they're like, oh, this is cool. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's all. And I know there's even people who will show the movie, and then they'll have actors kind of do their thing in front of it. And I'm not sure.
I
think that might have existed before the play, but I'm not totally sure. But so it kind of brings it to life in another element too, which is pretty neat.
Dude, and then when I saw that, and I know this is – I shouldn't reference like – so close to like this where people won't get the reference, but you'll get it. Like when I saw that, I was like, Steve-O was born to play that role. Yeah. Like you could, I would, if I saw that for the first time and I was Steve-O, I'd be like, oh, damn it. Well, I guess I'm going to have to be this guy forever now. Yeah. Like, dude, you're, holy crap.
Yeah.
I was blown away. That, and I was like, I didn't see the list of actors at first, and I was watching the movie, and I'm like, dude, that main lady looks like a hot ass young Susan Sarandon.
Yeah,
and it was.
Yeah, that's exactly who it was.
And I was like, oh my god, I gotta watch this movie again alone.
We all know it's really Tim Curry that made you want to watch it again,
dude. What amazing movie! That's an amazing movie as well.
And
it's
wild.
It was so fun. It's so crazy, and young hot Susan Sarandon. Well, the freaking her partner's no slouch either. I don't know, for sure. That dude's hot too. I'll give him credit. Yeah. You get credit too,
Brad. I don't know who the actor was.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Played a good Brad. So anyway, so we're talking about you directing. Now it's so close. It's Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, Little Shop of Horrors.
The horror throws me off. Where, oh, Rocky Horror Picture or Little Shop of Horrors.
No, that's true.
Like, is that the one with the plant?
Yeah, and it's so hard to say horror for some reason. It just sounds like you're saying Little Shop of Horrors.
Did you say horrors?
Little Shop of Horrors.
Or that when you watch Modern Family.
It's been a while, but I've seen some.
One of my favorite running gags is that Pepper Saltzman, who's what the fuck's his name from The Producers? The chubby guy from The Producers, Pumbaa.
I know Pumbaa.
What's the actor's name? I'm blanking on the actor's name. Anyway, he plays Pepper Saltzman, but he can't. There's a hockey team called the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, they could call a team that? And they're like, no, Blackhawks. And he's like, I can't only hear that. But it's like the running gag throughout the series. You know, they'll be like, oh, I'm going to go watch the Blackhawks or the Kings play the Blackhawks. And he's like, I still hear it. It's so good. So you're doing this Enchantrix in Moss Landing.
Mm-hmm.
And where can people, if they want to go check this out, can they get tickets?
Yeah, totally. So they're online. It's enchantrix.net. So Enchantrix is like Enchantrix, enchantrix.net. And we have all the show dates up there. We open this Friday, which is March 15th, and it runs for 4 weekends. And it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, nice. Except we aren't doing Easter. So there's a lot of opportunities to come see it. It's in Moss Landing. Like you said, it's a space we're totally transforming into a theater. It's a space that really hasn't been used for anything in several years. It's a neat space worth checking out.
It's an old whaling station.
Yeah. I have no idea.
You smell the blubber.
I think I heard the space was built to be a cheese making thing. But that's just something I heard and I can't verify it.
I mean, Moss Landing isn't that big. Okay. We're talking, the smokestacks. From there, where do we go?
It's pretty close to them. It's like very close to the cemetery, which is also like, you know, just a block away from like Lemongrass, which is a great place to eat.
Yes, it is.
And they have a little flyer up too, so I should hook up Lemongrass. But yeah, Lemongrass, because they're also promoting us.
Great, dude, great people. The people are awesome. They got this cool little tiny bar that's
And they have a Lemongrass ale. I'm like, is that their own? I think it's their own beer.
Really?
Yeah, because why else would there be, unless they just found one?
They're just like, yeah, they're like, we have
unless to. It's like Costco and they just like rebrand it. Like someone sells beer and they rebrand it. I don't know.
You but, like peel it off and it's Modelo. Yeah. You're like, what?
That's why it's so good.
Yeah. But no, dude, that place is awesome. Okay, so it's right
there. Yeah, so it's like right there.
Downtown Moss Landing.
It could be a little tricky to find because I think the address is like 8425 Moss Landing Road. But if you put that in on maps, it stops you kind of like a block away from it. So you just got to go a little bit further. And it's like a weird circular-ish or octangle-ish building, right? It looks like a circus tent. So it has like goes up to a conical sort of shape in the top. So when you see that, you know, it's right next to, I think it's called Tristan's Cookies and Cream Ice Cream Shop or something. It's right next to that.
What?
Yeah. So you can go grab a cookie and come.
There's the show. What? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I went in there the other day. I didn't get anything yet. But the stuff looked pretty bomb. But I was really? I needed lunch and I was like, maybe I'll have just like a cookie for lunch. I'm like, no, I should get something.
And that's what they do. Like, they do ice cream and like big fancy cookie type things.
So I think you make like your own ice cream sandwiches,
no
right?
Where
you
get way.
Like some fresh baked cookies, put some Marianne's ice cream in the middle of it. Yeah.
And they keep it local too. They keep it local. Exactly. All right. Dude, what the? All right, Moss Landing?
Yeah, Moss Landing's got some stuff. They got it going on.
After the dispensary opened up, they were like, all right. you know, we need cookies and ice cream. Yeah, East of Eden has I don't know if they've closed it or anything, but yeah, they had a place out there too.
Oh, nice. That's good to know.
Moss Landing's the way. Well, and so for people that may not be familiar with Little Shop of Horrors. can you give a quick synopsis of what it is? Because it.
Let's see how much is spoilers and how much is not. But it's definitely a fun musical. It's got like a little bit of a dark edge, but not like uncomfortably dark. Right? It's kind of like a funny with a little dark, because there might be some people that die in this musical.
That's where, if you just read the synopsis, you're like, a lot of prostitutes and stuff.
we don't have that going on in this production, at least, but there's
prostitutes be saved.
But there's like, a meek mannered guy. And we're doing some cool, queer gender bending stuff. So like Seymour, the main characters, played by, my wife, Jonna St. John. And she's doing a great job. And,
legally you have to say my wife.
Yeah.
According to the Borat Act of 2018, that's how you have to say
it. It's so good. It holds on forever. Yeah. And so that's great. And then, there's like a trio of kind of like storytelling, awesome three-part harmony singing ladies who, and we've taken a couple creative liberties, a couple twists with some things in the show. And I think that's what you expect when you go see community theater. You want everyone to kind of put their own little twists on it here and there. And I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say, basically there's a plant that comes from outer space. And
well, I mean, this is like, again, the 1960 it came out. So,
yeah, it's pretty.
You've had plenty of time, people, to figure out the plot or the synopsis. Yeah.
Little plant comes from outer space and it needs blood. It needs blood. And so conflict ensues. Yeah.
Yeah, how do you feed it? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
How and if you want, you want to figure that out, mm-hmm. we're not going to tell you because mm-hmm. then you're going to know. And it's, how much are tickets?
I think they're $25 online. If I have no, $25 online tickets, you know,
one show a night.
Yeah, one Friday night, one Saturday night, one Sunday afternoon, and. Yeah, you know, as a poor individual myself, $25 probably sounds like a lot. But to be honest, it's like, even with that, it's not like the play is going to be pulling a profit.
No, well, and that's, I think, one of the things that we all have to, especially on the local thing. Like, yeah, if I was going to Sherwood Hall, and you know, I don't even think they do shit there anymore.
I don't think
but
anymore,
like,
yeah.
But back yeah. But again, I would, and then be, oh, it's $40 a ticket. Like, you know, what big production company that signed this act is going to get, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing, like, again, when you go to the local coffee shop versus Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, whatever. Let's say both of the coffees are $5. Mm-hmm. But this $5 that I give to Starbucks is just getting funneled out to some big corporate headquarters in Seattle, and everybody hates Seattle. No, just kidding. No, it's probably New York now. But yeah, but here, you know, being, you know, having a family that has a local business, it's like, dude, when you spend those $5 here, that goes to like toilet paper or something, you know, or to pay the kids' freaking school thing or something. Like, it's, yeah, that those,
totally.
Those $25, it goes a lot more, you know, it is definitely not cheap, but it's like, dude, yeah, nobody's making money here.
Yeah. And, like, and Enchantrix is a nonprofit too. So it just goes to ensure that Enchantrix can keep doing more and more shows. Like I said, fresh new theater company, pulling in all kinds of, you know, it's actually really interesting because even though I've done theater in the community for so long, I've never worked with any of these actors and that are in this show before. And there's some coming from Santa Cruz, some coming from PG, some coming from Salinas, from Castroville. So it's all kinds of people coming together for this. And
that Castroville person lucked out.
Yeah. Well, so they did now, but actually we were rehearsing in Salinas. So we only got access to the space a couple days ago.
Oh, okay.
We were rehearsing in Salinas actually at Compass Church. They like let us have a room that we would rehearse in for a long time. And then sometimes we would go to the producer's house for rehearsals. A couple times we rehearsed at the like American Legion in Marina. So there's been some, and that's another thing about this, you know, like I said, really grassroots theater where it's like we make it work. And it's a little more tricky when you don't have like that dedicated space ready for you, but we make it work.
And again, this is more businessy side, so you might not know, but is the plan to do further shows in this venue?
I don't think so. It's definitely a possibility because I think the venue's available almost all the time. So I guess actually if anyone comes and sees it and they're like, oh man, I would love to use this space. You probably can because it's available all the time. But maybe if it's a huge success and we find that the space was totally perfect for us, I could see them going back there. But I'm not sure of his long-term plans.
Okay, yeah. So, the connection to Enchantrix is just that there was a space. That's the space that was available. Oh, okay.
And it's a cool space. And, yeah, so he got that space. But it's, you know, it's also not a cheap space, which is why I come see the show so we can pay.
Yeah. And this Enchantrix, this is Sean,
you were
saying? And this is a local...
Yeah, I'm beginning to know more recently, but honestly, I still don't know a million things about Sean, but I know he was in a play with my wife at the Western Stage. They were in a play called Imaginary Together, which actually one of the actors in our show was in as well, Jackie, who does a great job as one of the trio girls. And so then he's like, man, I really just want to start producing my own shows. And
oh, hell yeah.
So he went for it. And hella pulled it off. And so then he also had, they were, like I said, they were Imaginary Together, Jonna and Sean. And then he had Jonna also play Sancho in Man of La Mancha. She degraded that too. And then so now she's playing Seymour in this one too. So he just, like I said, he just went for it. He did that one show. Like it worked out. Totally pulled it off, which is like, I don't think I would ever try to produce a show because it's insane seeing just everything that has to happen. Like even now we're struggling to find we need microphones because it helps a lot. Like maybe we could get by without it, but even in this space, it's a big space. We need microphones. So I'm trying to call up my buddy and be like, hey, you got like 8 microphones I could borrow for a month, man. I know you got them. Hook them up, please. And stuff like that. And so it's a lot of stuff with theater that on the producer side that I'd rather not deal with. So I'm glad he's doing it.
Dude, yeah, no, the more I learn more of the backstage stuff, it's just like, holy. Again, if you start learning about all that, you're like, dude, I'm getting all this for $25. Yeah. Like, wait, like this is actually, well, and especially, dude, we were just talking about Moss Landing. I mean, they got the power plant. They got lemongrass, you know, that seems like a pretty cool date.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. Yeah, go grab some lemongrass dinner. There's a vegan taco truck also down the road. That's super bomb. And then maybe go grab some dessert, a little ice cream place, sit down, watch the smokestacks, which I met some engineers who worked on that plant before. And they actually told me it's one of the like cleanest plants in at least California or the country, they were saying. So that's cool. Even though you see all these smokestacks, you can be like, no, this is a pretty clean plant. That's great. And then catch some theater.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Moss Landing date. There you go. Yeah. This episode brought to you by the Moss Landing Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, they're going to be stoked.
It's just one dude. Just like, please come here.
He's like, that's just my legal name, Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. So anyway, the show starts March 15th. And then so it goes for that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
And then 3 more weeks after that?
Yes, exactly.
At what time?
It's Friday and Saturdays at 7, Sundays at 2. And yeah, minus Easter. So,
dude, that's okay. So here's your Sunday date. You know, it's a date too. It's going to be cool. So it's Sunday, and actually I don't know if Power Plant is open on Sunday, but I'm assuming they are. They're legit. They're not going to mess around. So you get a coffee at Power Plant and then you walk back, because it's Salinas River State Beach is right there. It's so cool. Power Plant, there's just trails. Go walk around, you know, with your date. You know, you're looking at the nature, and then that way you can figure out, you know, let's see how they react to the nature. All right, cool. Oh, it's 1:30. Let's go get some ice cream. Let's go get ice cream, a sandwich, you know, good Marianne's ice cream. And then we'll walk over 2:00, catch the show, watch the show. After the show, we go to Lemongrass so we could discuss the show.
Yeah.
We could talk about what we saw, what we thought, how great was Colin. Like, did you recognize that voice?
Yeah.
He was on Salinas Underground podcast.
Like, yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. And, And then you go from there and, you know, it's 4:00. The time just changed. So, you know, sunsets are like at 7:30. You know, when you're done with dinner, you go back out, you'll watch a sunset on the beach.
Yeah.
Boom.
Bam.
Boom.
Bam. Perfect day.
I got a fucking date for you right there. It's a Sunday.
And if it's your first date and your date's like, man, I don't know about that show. I just don't like theater. Dump it.
Yeah, it's not the one. It's not the one. It's so easy. Yeah. You didn't waste a lot of money. You didn't go far. And you knew that that was a terrible person that you met.
Yep.
It happens.
Or they're like, man, I really identify with like the asshole character in the play. Like, oh, red flag. Yeah, maybe that's not the one.
Like, was Seymour's voice kind of hot? Like, no, what? No. You're done.
Yeah, man, I really liked when that guy was.
He's married, you weirdo. She's just like, what? I'm like, oh, sorry, that's some internal shit that I'm dealing with. Hold on. Gotta take it. So, and you can, again, where can people get tickets again?
Yeah, enchantrix.net. And Enchantrix is, right, it's a unique word. So it's like enchant and then R-I-X at the end, .net. And all the dates are on there and stuff, so you can just buy them online. You can come to the door, too. But honestly, if you go buy them online, it helps hype us up, too, because we'll be like, oh, yeah, we sold this many tickets this day. We know, like, oh, people are definitely coming, and it's going to be good. Because 4 Weekends is also kind of, you know, new theater company. I think the last show they did, I think they did 2 weekends, if I remember right. So 4 Weekends is a whole nother thing. We're trying to fill seats for 4 whole weekends, and You know, it's just because, and we want to entertain people. So we're just hoping we get a lot of people to come check it out.
No, I think you will. And dude, I'm loving this again, Moss Landing. Like I said, it's more that that's where the space was available, but I keep bringing this up and I don't know if it's actually true or I just keep bringing it up. I want it to be true. So I'd be like, see how smart I am. See how I have like premonitions. but I feel that after, you know, we're talking about how COVID kind of disrupted every, it was a crazy 3 weeks in our lives. Yeah. But it kind of disrupted everything. You know, we're talking about how this show got, but one thing, the creative type, you know, like, you know, the theater people, the movie people, all this, you usually do that with others, even if it's a one man show or something. You know, there's a like some kind of producer, some other people helping you, and so COVID prevented like these creative people from expressing their creative stuff, you know, and it was interesting because creative people, they're not just going to give up and be like, oh, that sucks. You know, yeah. They're like, no, somehow my art's going to get out there. Mm-hmm. And you started seeing a lot of like short films that were just two people, you know, one actor and a director. And one thing that, and this is where, this is the thing that I feel that I'm noticing is that it was very territorial, at least before COVID, and it still can be. Like, there's a lot of small towns around here. Mm-hmm. But I felt that before it used to be more like, oh, you want me to do a show in Watsonville? Like Watsonville, you know? Yeah. Like I don't even know anybody. Like, what? Or, you know, mm-hmm. or people are like, I'm not coming down to Salinas, you know? Like, yeah. Salinas, that's pretty common. Yeah. Yeah. Or even Monterey, you know? But, like, and COVID kind of, you force these artistic people that were just stuck in their rooms that wanted to share, you know, it's like, all right, well, all I have right now is a parking lot show in Salinas, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know, that was never been my thing, but it's more important for me to get my art out than to hate this town for whatever reason that I have. So all of a sudden it didn't matter that you're from Gilroy or Santa Cruz or Morgan Hill or Watsonville or Monterey, PG or whatever. It's like, no, I need someone to run film and, you know, or to run the camera, and you're good at it. And I know you're from PG, but we're going to fucking Garner. You're about to get a, so, you know, culture shock, but, you know, and the people don't care. And all of a sudden you're seeing, you know, again, this indie basement cinema, like I said, mm-hmm. there's a place in Salinas now that if you're not just a cinephile, you know, not just someone that likes to talk, but like someone that likes to make movies, mm-hmm. there's a place once a month where you can hang out with other people that do that.
Yeah, that sounds super. And I'd never heard of that, so now I'm excited to go check that out.
Yeah, and I love it all the time. It's like, dude, there was the 1 year anniversary. A dude came down from Fremont. He was like, yeah, dude, he was a stand up comedian as well, and he was like, yeah, they were trying to get me to do a gig. He's like, but you guys were showcasing my film and it's a 1 year anniversary. So I felt it was more important to be here to talk about my film.
Oh, nice.
Than to do that. You know, I'm like, dude, Fremont.
Yeah.
Like, he came down from the Bay Area. Like,
and it just shows how much he loved his film and really was excited to be sharing it with everybody.
Too. Yeah, exactly. And, but also, yeah. And so now if you're somebody, you know, again, somebody from Salinas says, oh, well, you know, the Bay Area is this whole big thing or whatever. It's like, well, now you got this people from the Bay Area coming down like, yeah. Like, think bigger, yeah, bigger thoughts,
like
you know?
Like you were saying earlier, I mean, Salinas is, I've always been, like, amazed that there's not more, there is a lot in Salinas, but I've always been amazed there's not more. There's so many people here, so many creative and talented people, and then so many people that are also ready to consume all that creativity. It's like, there's definitely a lot of people pushing for it, and they're doing it, and they're making it happen, but I'm always a little surprised there's not even more, you know?
Yeah. No, after COVID, it really, I don't know.
Yeah, and I know, I think I it's a good point. I
just desperately want to be right. Validate my opinion, call it. No.
No, I think it's a good opinion. Because I think also, on like the same note, I always kind of feel like limitation breeds creativity, right? So say like you have a guitar, it only has two strings. Sometimes that's going to lead you to write a totally different song than you would ever write with an actual six-string guitar. Or like, yeah, I'm going to write a song with just two chords, like as an exercise. And then sometimes you write this great melody because you're not too worried about all this other shifting stuff. And so likewise with COVID, you're like, oh man, I'm really limited in what I can do. So what can I do?
Yeah.
And then you go and do it. I know when COVID hit for me too, like it was, I do some music stuff, right? And so usually I play in bands, but when COVID hit, I'm like, oh, well, I got a little more time now because I can't really go be social. So I recorded like 4 songs at home in the span of like a week. And they were totally different songs that I would ever do because I was just doing them at home on my own. And I didn't really have a studio space. So I was doing like in the box, mostly electronic music. And they were great. And I should have released them right away. They're honestly still sitting on my computer waiting for me to release them because the process of that is just a different thing of trying to be like happy with your mix and all that stuff. But in the same way, yeah, limitation breeds creativity. So in some ways, COVID helped a lot of people, I think, get a little extra creative.
Yeah, yeah. It really held it back for a bit. But once, you know, again, that like artistic people aren't going to give up. So mm-hmm. yeah, once they figured out some avenues and then, yeah, all of a sudden these barriers are broken. And then even once everything kind of semi-normalized again, like there was already a new normal installed. So, yeah, so... And
totally.
Yeah, it still blows my mind that again, being from Salinas, every week, every weekend, people come from the peninsula, people come from Watsonville and Santa Cruz. And it's just like, wait, what? Like, even when we started the show, I remember asking, like, do you think Salinas will ever be a spot that like people come hang out? Mm-hmm. And here we are 10 years later, and that's where we are.
Yeah, there's a lot of good shit, man. I'm from Salinas, born and raised, lived here most of my life. Just moved last year, but it was mostly I just found a more affordable spot to live. So now I'm in San Juan Bautista because I'm getting kind of a hookup. And, but man, I miss, there's a lot of things I miss about Salinas. And some of it's just like missing walking out my door and like hearing all like the commotion going on. Like I love being like deep in the heart of it, you know?
Yeah.
And San Juan Bautista is pretty quiet. So, which is good in some ways and stuff, but I miss the rowdiness that Salinas has to offer the rawness.
Dude. Yeah. And no, San Juan Bautista does have a really cool, like a home, like we're all big family thing. Like whenever you go to a place, they seem to be very excited that not only did you go to their establishment, but they're like, oh, check this out and go there.
Yeah,
and like
definitely. It's got that great small town vibe going on where everyone's supporting each other and real close. Yeah, it's tight. And I'm starting to integrate myself into that community a little bit more here and there.
People at Rosie's recognize you now.
What's that?
People at Rosie's recognize you now. Isn't that what the bar's called?
I think it's Daisies?
Yeah. Okay, Daisies. Daisies. Yeah. No, I'm not a local.
I've only been there once, and it was actually shortly after I moved there, and I just walked in with my guitar. I'm like, can I play music here? And they're like, yeah. So I played some music there. Everyone there was hella tight. Like, yeah. They were just super receptive. You know, Daisies has its own vibe and stuff. So when I walk in, I'm like, I don't know if anyone's going to like this, but they all, like, everyone in there walked over and tipped me at some point. And, like, you know, I got these big, cool buff biker guys where I'm not sure if they're gonna like my vibe, where you know, like right now I'm wearing tight cheetah print pants and but they're like, oh yeah, great music, bro, I love it. I'm like, tight, thanks, man. And so like everyone there is super kind and accepting.
Heck yeah, that's a great place.
Yeah,
it's a great, but anyway, what are we missing, have we covered everything? That's what I always like to ask.
Yeah,
I always put the pressure on the guests, like, hey, man, this is your job. You're the host. But again, I want to, you know, again, the community theater thing is so cool. And we have another show, you know, for the next 4 weekends, right?
Yeah, 4 weekends.
For the next 4 weekends is a great opportunity to go check it out. And I don't want to keep harping on the 25, but it's, mm-hmm. but every time I go, it's impossible for me to go out and have some drinks and spend less than $30.
Yeah, for real.
So it's like, and
so instead, pregame a little bit, come watch the show.
Yeah. Well, and that's the dude. And I keep saying, you could not go out for 6 months and then go to the bar and it's the same fucking shit.
Yeah.
Same people drinking the same drinks, mm-hmm. dressed the same way, mm-hmm. talking the same way. It's okay to miss one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's cool. And then not only are you missing one day, you're going to theater. You know, you're going to run into different people that want to go see the show. The show itself, like, I don't know. I enjoy art and, you know, cultural stuff anyway. But I just think you'll get something from it, you know. Instead of just drinking your freaking four vodka sodas, you know, drink two vodka sodas and then go watch.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, dude, this was cool. Like, I was entertained just like a movie. I mean, dude, how much is a fucking movie ticket with popcorn?
Yeah.
It's not 25 fucking bucks.
It's pretty close.
And if you're cool like me and always go on dates. No, just kidding. I never go. They give me a singles pass. But again, try to go to movie theater, you know, with another person, and it's less than 50 bucks. And even if it's the same price, bro, you're going to watch another Transformers flick.
Yeah.
You know, and with the sticky fucking carpet and shit. Like, I don't know. I think it's so much cooler to, and what's even cool is, like, you can run into you and, like, wait, you were the voice, you know?
Yeah.
This is cool.
And man, of course, everyone would love, like, if you come watch the show and, you know, there's a performer that you particularly enjoy, like, don't be shy. Feel free to, like, hang out afterwards and let them know, because I'm sure everyone would absolutely love it. Because that's why they're doing it. They're doing it so people can have fun. You know, you know, it's not like we don't get something out of it. You know, of course we enjoy performing, but we enjoy performing because we want people to have fun, or we want to connect with something emotionally, maybe think about something differently, all that stuff. So I know a lot of times people come to see a show and they dip, and that's totally cool too. But like, if you want to hang out and tell like one performer, like, hey, you did that thing in that show, and maybe you've seen the show before, because, you know, Pack Rep did this show 2-3 years ago or something. But this one's going to be different because we got different people. We got different directions going on. And that's another thing I love about theater is, like, even if a bunch of different companies put on the same show, it's always going to be different. And there's a couple choices that we make in the show that I think are awesome and sometimes hilarious. And I think it's totally worth, even if you've seen the show before, it's totally worth coming and checking this one out.
Dude, and this is, again, and this, you might not know this answer, and I just, speaking of those liberties, so you pay rights to get that, like, can you then do basically whatever you want with it? Or can they say, hey, you changed that too much, bro? Like,
You know, so even when I say, like, choices we're making, it's like, you're still going to say the line, but if the line is like, you know, if the line is, I absolutely love cinema. I don't know. I'm trying to think of it. That's not a good example, but there's just a million different ways you could see it, right?
Yeah.
I absolutely love cinema, or like, I absolutely love cinema. And so with that, just the different ways you can say a certain line completely change the character's motivation, why they're saying it, and kind of why these things are actually happening in the play. So we stay true to the script, but we do change a couple things that are done in certain ways.
Okay, I see. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, and that's the fun of really getting into the directing and finding, like, you know, I see, like, okay, most people play this character this way, and at this point they think this character is, you know, scared, but instead we're gonna say in this point, for all these reasons that to me totally make sense, that have been established in the show, but instead of scared, this character is actually a little turned on. And that's kind of a weird twist, but it actually, to me, develops that character so much more when you see everything they went through to that point to be feeling that level of arousal instead of fear. It's kind of a really deeper commentary on the trauma that they've experienced before and the way that it's been connected to romantic relationships in their life. It's one of my favorite moments, and I don't think anyone's ever done this moment like that before. So I'm excited to see people's reaction. The cast, this is a scene that we rehearsed a certain way, and then the cast hasn't been there for those rehearsals, but they were there the other day when we did a run through, and they finally got to see it, and they were cracking up because it's good. It's good stuff. So I think when you get the cast laughing, it's a pretty good sign that you're doing something good.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, again, if you want to check this out, it's Enchantrix. Enchantrix.net, Enchantrix Theater. It's going to be out in Pacific Grove.
Yeah, Moss Landing.
Oh, wow. I said Pacific Grove. It's 1.5 beers. I'm done.
Yeah, Moss Landing, same thing. Same thing. It's by the water. By the water.
Yeah, real close to that
one. It's by the water. Yeah, so at Moss Landing, go enchantrix.net. You can get tickets. And yeah, so starting this weekend and the next 4 weekends.
Yeah.
I guess the next 3 weekends after this.
Yeah. Love to have you.
Yeah, come check it out. It's cool. And again, if you go on a Sunday, not Easter Sunday, but if you go on a Sunday, listen back. I got your date set up. You don't even have to do anything. You don't even have to do anything. You
just tell them, yo, I got this date planned out.
How cool would it be if there's like 10 people doing the exact same thing?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, y'all listen. What's up?
That would be fun.
They're going to look at each other and be like, oh, you listen to the same podcast.
Yeah. They're like, yes.
And it gives them a reason to connect. They're like, so now we have another thing in common. Yeah.
Getting the ice cream? You're going to get the ice cream? He said there was a dispensary around here. And anyway, Colin, thanks again. Thanks for coming on. Oh,
thank you, man. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm going to let you actually. You're still working. You're leaving. Yeah. Speaking of how much sacrifice it takes to do this, you literally came in here to do this and you're driving away to go.
Yeah, I got to go to tech rehearsal tonight. Yeah. We got a chunk of the stage built last night. So now we're going to go let the actors, play on it and see how it's working for everybody. So yeah, rehearsals every night this week leading up to performance, because that's what we do. That's how we do.
Yeah, I know. And it, like I said, yeah, it's crazy. When you show up and you get entertained for 2 hours, you have no idea the amount of work that it takes to get there. So yeah, appreciate it. It's fucking cool. And yeah, go out there. See you. And I'll definitely figure out a time to go out there.
Yeah, and definitely, I guess, just a shout out to all the actors in the play, because there's just so much talent in the play. And Sean's producing it, doing a bunch of work. And then there's other people like Andre who's helping us build the set. And there's just been hella people going into all this. So they're all doing awesome. And come see what they're doing.
Dude, yeah. And those are definitely, man, when the lighting cues and the music and all that, they all keep you. That's what, because if you get sucked into the story, it doesn't really matter, where you're seeing it. Like, you're just in the story, and things like that are the things that keep you in the story. And if they're not done right, you could easily be like, oh, I'm just in a warehouse in Moss Landing,
Yeah.
But if you're sucked in, if they do a good job, it really helps and adds. It's not just the actors on the stage.
Totally.
So shout out to the technical crew, man.
Yeah, I'm pulling together all the tech is. Actually, I just hit up Steve-O today because I'm like, hey, I need a soundboard, man. He's like, I got you. So shout out to Steve-O for hooking me up with the soundboard. I'm going to go pick that up later.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was just like, wait, what? Mixer sitting around here. But yeah, thanks again, Colin, for coming on. And yeah, go out and watch it.
Yeah.
Go out and watch it and then leave a comment when we post it.
Yeah, do that.
Tell us what you thought.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, we'll see y'all later. Peace.
Peace.